Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us for this program. And coming up, we're going to learn about immigration reform and get a fly on the wall look at what happened a couple of years ago. But first, Attorney General Marty Jackley joins me. Welcome, Mr. Attorney General. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so you were you are president of the National Association of Attorneys General, and you took a delegation to Taiwan. So let's talk a little bit about that. You just got back this weekend?
I did. Got back late Sunday evening.
And how many people?
There was a delegation of five attorneys general and then our executive director. So we took really a cross-section of the United States attorneys general. We had Florida and Georgia from the south. From the northeast was New Hampshire's attorney general, Joe Foster. And then from the West and Midwest, we had Montana and South Dakota.
And you had access to all of the leaders there, correct?
We did. We had an opportunity to meet personally with President Ma, as well as their chief justice and some of the trade folks that really work with that trade partnership between the United States and Taiwan.
And talk a little bit about your mission, your purpose for going.
Well, one of the main purposes, obviously, because we are attorneys general, is to look at the criminal justice system. Certainly, trade and economics was on the mind of the Taiwanese leaders, and we had those discussions, too, which is certainly important, especially in ag states such as South Dakota. But the main focus was on the criminal justice system, to sit down with prosecutors, with judges, and talk about how their system compares to ours, share what works, maybe what doesn't work. We talked a lot about crimes of similar nature that we see, addiction being one of the huge impacts of both the Taiwan people as well as here in the United States, and so sharing some of those ideas.
And how do the two justice systems overlap?
There's a lot of similarity between our two justice systems. One of the important distinctions is here in the United States, we place our trust in the jury system, that we let really the people decide, you know, whether or not somebody is guilty or whether the case is proven. In Taiwan, it's a much stronger reliance upon the prosecutors, both on the investigation, the prosecution stage, as well as the judges. It was interesting to talk as we continue to have discussions, particularly with the judges. They are opening up more to the jury system in Taiwan. They are starting with pilot programs for advisory juries. And what an advisory jury is what we see in the United States in civil cases sometimes, where the judge will still make the ultimate determination, but they are seating a jury to give the judge advice or to render what we call an advisory opinion of guilt or innocence.
When you say that you talk to, you have most in common addiction, I'm wondering if it's the addiction itself as the crime or the crimes that are committed because they're on drugs or need money for drugs.
You know, a little bit of each. As we do a comparison, you know, when I was asked the question, you know, when you look at our prison system, how many folks in our current criminal justice system are affected by drugs? And when you say affected by drugs, you know, that may mean you were convicted of a methamphetamine possession, or it may mean that you had an addiction to prescription drugs and you committed a theft in a pharmacy. But, you know, in the United States, you look at somewhere between 75 and 85% of our cases deal with a drug addiction of some nature. It's a little lower in Taiwan, but not much. They put it at around 65%. So we talked a little bit about how we handle addiction. Certainly, I talked a great deal about the drug courts that we're doing here in South Dakota. Other states also have similar experiences with drug courts. In Taiwan, they don't necessarily call them drug courts, but it was interesting as we talked, especially to the judges, they said that we treat a first offender in a drug case as a patient, not necessarily a criminal. And so they work very diligently in at least the first arrest to try to address the addiction through treatment, through a process very similar to what we're doing here in South Dakota in our drug courts.
Well, in how many of the states, I mean, you said that the whole U.S. was represented, and I'm just wondering how much of what we do in South Dakota or what happens in other states, you know, how much uniformity could you take to Taiwan as well?
You know, certainly when you look at the different attorneys general, I mean, we are in different positions, different cross sections of the United States. We do things a little differently, but when it comes to addressing addiction, were pretty similar. I mean, we all have the prescription drug monitoring programs. That was what I'd asked the legislature to pass when I first became attorney general, that we've really addressed some of the prescription drug abuse. So all of the attorney generals have that type of program, and we're all similar to that. We are now all having some form of a drug court. We call them different things. Some are hope courts, some are drug courts, but we're all using alternative sentencing to help address some of our addiction issues. Of course, we all face, you know, some similar drugs, but different drugs. I mean, in South Dakota, methamphetamine remains the major concern. We've had some heroin, but I think those numbers are, you know, oftentimes affected by the Sturgis motorcycle rally, where we bring in as many as $400,000 worth of a heroin bust. So I don't think that's a fair reflection of the drugs we see in South Dakota. But when you're talking to you know, certainly Florida's attorney general, meth is a problem, but they see a lot more heroin, a lot more synthetic drugs. We've addressed a lot of the synthetic drugs here in South Dakota through legislation. The drug cat is a very important drug in Taiwan. We were seeing it in South Dakota, but South Dakota legislature again went ahead and outlawed it. And so we've, you know, we had a lot of things that we could talk about in common about, you know, how we've been both affected by them, but then how we've addressed them.
You spent some time also addressing human trafficking, and I'm wondering about your conversation about that topic.
Yeah, and that was a topic, interesting, that the Chief Justice had raised in talking about, you know, the challenges with human trafficking and the effect it has on women and children, and really the use of technology. And it's the same thing that we experience here in South Dakota. We just released the law enforcement operation results from the operation in Pierre this weekend, mm-hmm. where again we advertised for the sale of really young children for sex purposes, and we continue to have a problem here in South Dakota. And it was much the same conversation in Taiwan. Obviously, the Florida Attorney General sees it much more significantly, particularly with overseas type issues, but it is something that all attorneys general, as well as the Taiwanese delegation we met with, are facing. And again, it's really brought about by technology. Technology brings us wonderful things, but it also gives some of the bad guys an opportunity to prey upon our children.
I wanted to talk about what, I mean, you've been talking about what you took to share with Taiwan. What did you bring back? What do you want to apply?
You know, a couple of things that I brought back. One is I talked a little bit about the addiction and how they address that, especially that first arrest, more with the philosophy of treating them like a patient and trying to get to the underlying problem rather than necessarily just housing them in prison. I mean, I think that coincides with alternative sentencing and drug courts, as well as teen courts and DUI courts that we're doing here in South Dakota. You know, certainly we had good discussions on the importance of trade. We had an opportunity to meet with the trade delegation, talk about agriculture, learned a little bit more about why, you know, there's been some of the challenges, for instance, with the pork industry and the Taiwan trade. Of course, talked about TPP and some of those things. But the other part of the takeaway really was we visited a women's prison, and we were able to see firsthand some of the positive things that they were doing in the prison with respect to not just health care, but with respect to, you know, producing goods and whatnot. We do some of that in South Dakota. Certainly, it would be something that, you know, it would be important to maybe see if we can do even a little bit more. I mean, we've done things, you know, from wiring schools here in South Dakota to cleaning up the Black Hills to Pheasant Industries at the current prison. But those are some areas that it appeared that Taiwan has really focused on. You know, and as we had an opportunity to talk to inmates, obviously it gives them a purpose in life, and it gives them a trade that they can take with them when they're released out. We had an opportunity to meet with groups that they were learning how to design web pages, and so they were able to, right before they were released, a few months before, have that education and ability to take that with them and go get a job. And I think those are things that we can do a stronger job with in the United States system and here in South Dakota.
I'm wondering about if any of these things that you're bringing back, if you're going to, if we're going to see legislation introduced as soon as January, or if you're going to take some time and noodle some things around.
you know, a lot of these issues and ideas don't really require legislation. I mean, we're certainly moving in the direction with drug courts. It has been something that was part of Senate Bill 70. Certainly, you know, when it comes to some of the prison issues, I mean, those are matters to talk with sheriffs, certainly to talk to the Department of Corrections on, you know, with the respect that the sheriffs run our jails, and certainly that the Department of Corrections, as I've indicated with Pheasant Industries and some of the other projects, do have programs going. And so, you know, from a prosecutor standpoint, you know, I don't know that we necessarily need legislation for some of these ideas or potential reforms. We just need to, you know, take a look at how can we move forward on these matters. Certainly on the trade side, you know, that's not something necessarily that I as Attorney General am able to further, but it's part of what the delegation was involved with. It's interesting that the National Attorney General's Association has traditionally developed the type of relationship with Taiwan that we have. I mean, and some of it has continued on. They'd indicated that they were now going to be visited by Montana's Attorney General, former Attorney General and now Governor Steve Bullock. He had been on the Attorney General delegation a couple years ago, formed relationships with them, and now he's, as Montana's governor, in Taiwan as we speak, talking about trade, agriculture, things for Montana. And so there's that kind of that deep relationship with the nation's attorney generals where we have an opportunity when we go to the country that we're really welcomed with open arms with the president of their country, the chief justice, and have those good discussions, not just limited to the criminal justice system, but including trade. I mean, certainly the TPP trade agreement weighs heavily on the Taiwan government. They certainly want the United States to support in that. They also talk to us about, you know, various military issues. They talk to us about their desire to have diesel submarines as opposed to nuclear. And it was kind of interesting that the attorney generals have developed that type of a rapport with the Taiwanese government.
And are you going to take any of those questions, suggestions higher up the ladder?
You know, certainly with, I think, on some of the prison issues, and some of those type matters. I mean, I know that, you know, I personally, before I left, had a conversation with Governor Dugard. He is certainly up on the TPP. He understands what some of these trade agreements mean for South Dakota. He's been a very strong governor when it comes to promoting South Dakota's economic opportunities. And so, you know, those discussions have kind of already happened. But I think where my takeaway is, primarily with, again, on some of the prison side, but with the prosecutors, mm-hmm. to reemphasize that what we're doing with drug courts here in the United States is working elsewhere. This concept of, you know, being able to address the addiction and some of the addiction problems up front makes sense, and I think that's probably one of the biggest takeaways.
I wanted to, for the next couple of minutes, just ask you just a couple of other issues. Ohio announced yesterday that it is suspending all executions because they can't have access to the lethal drugs. I'm wondering where we're at in South Dakota.
You know, certainly we have several individuals on death row. I'm a little bit limited to what I can talk about it. I mean, part of the challenge when it comes to executions across the United States, I believe there are approximately 32 states, as well as the federal government, that still has capital punishment, that in South Dakota we used compounded pentobarbital is what it's called in the executions of Donald Moeller as well as Eric Robert. Those executions were constitutional. I personally was present during those executions. I mean, certainly it's not an easy thing as a prosecutor or for the victim's family, but our prison staff, and the credit goes to the Department of Corrections, you know, has been able to constitutionally carry out those sentences. And I would anticipate that should, you know, those cases proceed to the point of carrying out, you know, an appropriate state sentence, that we will have the ability to do that. Other states have not been in that necessarily same position. Certainly the issue of capital punishment came up in Taiwan from the various attorney generals. Taiwan has a much more open death penalty or capital punishment system. They do allow capital punishment for, you know, drug trafficking and other offenses beyond first-degree murder. Certainly, we had basic discussions with them regarding capital punishment. The Attorney General community as a whole continues to be discussing and involved in the capital punishment issue because, again, 32 states, the majority of the United States, still have capital punishment for those cases where, there really is no other alternative in order to protect innocent life but to utilize the capital punishment.
I received a press release that South Dakota has received notice of the intent to end the EB-5 visa program.
Yes, that's a matter really handled by the governor's office. Certainly I, as Attorney General, when we were asked to look into the governor's office of economic development issue, we looked into it. We ultimately determined there was what we believed to be criminal conduct, and we moved forward with a grand jury. The stuff that's going on now is related to civil actions, between the state and the federal government that is being handled through the governor's office. When I was in Taiwan, I did have an opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about the EB-5 program. That's a program that's mainland China, and it's not Taiwan. Taiwan has a very strong visa program with the United States, but it's different. The EB-5 program is more of a mainland China issue. And so with respect to the program, obviously I, as Attorney General, as well as the federal authorities, looked at the EB-5 not from a civil contract issue or who's responsible for what, but for a criminal investigation. And as I've indicated, I at least made the determination as Attorney General that there was illegal conduct and was preparing to move forward on that conduct until such time as there was the suicide. The U.S. Attorney hasn't indicated, and the U.S. Attorney would have, of course, the federal jurisdiction over any federal monies that would be inappropriately spent or any specific violations of the EB-5 program. And my understanding, at least at the point before, is that federal authorities had also not concluded that there was any federal criminal violations. And so these matters that are going on now are oversight issues as well as where that program goes from here, and that's in civil litigation that the Attorney General's office is not handling.
There's just been this impression with the EB-5 and now Gear Up that there is some fraud, some abuse, and we actually had a caller who wants to know if there are plans for the state to take action to prevent this from happening in the future.
Certainly. When you look at the Gear Up program now, as Attorney General, I've indicated that my job is kind of an after the fact job when it comes to both EB-5 and Gear Up, and that is once something potentially has happened of criminal nature, my job is through the investigation is to investigate it, make a determination if a crime has been committed, and then have a grand jury make the ultimate determination. At this point, what we've indicated on the Gear Up program is that we became aware of reviews that were going on by the Department of Education as well as legislative audit. Both have been very cooperative with the Attorney General's office in our review of these matters, and that we were going to look into these financials associated with Gear Up and Mid-Central and then make a determination of whether or not there's any criminal activity. We're in that process right now, so I can't really say much more about it other than, obviously Department of Education and Legislative Audit are cooperating with us. They're providing the financial documentation. We are trusting but verifying what those previous audits showed, and we're going to take that evidence wherever it would lead us, just like we did with the EB-5 matter that ultimately was headed to a grand jury. I don't know at this point where it will end up. When it comes to the oversight issues, though, those are issues really for those boards that are responsible for the various grants or the different grant agencies. That is something that, certainly there's a legislative audit oversight so that you have both an executive branch oversight as well as a legislative oversight. And my job as Attorney General, and it's unfortunate sometimes, is when there's perhaps an oversight that has gone wrong or some issue that's gone wrong, the Attorney General is called in, to address any criminal matters that may or may not have arisen.
All right. I want to thank you very much for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Marty Jackley, the Attorney General in the state of South Dakota. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.